Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in New York City and attempted suicide three times as a teen. In 1960, as a scruffy teenager in dirty jeans lost in Amsterdam, a chance meeting changed his life. Today, he's an internationally known sociologist, educator, radio and television personality who has spoken to over 2 million people in more than 2,000 schools nationwide, asking them to examine their motives, goals, feelings, and then make meaningful decisions about their futures. His name, Jim Tooman. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Jim Tooman, an internationally known sociologist, educator, radio and television personality. Jim, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, an honor to be with you again.
Can we start by talking about your childhood in New York City and your parents?
Well, I grew up I went to the wealthiest high school in the country, Scarsdale, New York. And there was a real discrepancy in my life around, you know, money issues. And everything seemed to be focused on, you know, the material life. And I went home, used to go home in November with my postman, who lived in Lefrak City. And it was a low to middle income housing development. And we used to get off the elevator and you could smell in the hallways the stench of urine and things. But when I remember it fondly, he would put his key in the door, open up the door, and he had six children in a two-bedroom apartment. And they would race out and they would jump on him. And they would roll around on the carpet, and they would scream, "Daddy's home." And I really saw love for the first time in my life as a result of that. Because I hadn't seen much, you know, again, you know, growing up. My father was very, very fixated on, you know, monetary, you know, discrepancies in terms of, you know, how I looked at my life. I've always been on a service, you know, focus, but my dad always would ask me every Saturday morning when he called, you know, "How much money are you making? How much are they paying you? Why are you doing this?" And would always question this, which gave me the feeling like there wasn't much acceptance of my choices.
It's 1960. You're in Amsterdam. Something happened that was a defining moment in your life.
Yes. We all have these defining moments. Every listener that's out there has had these crossroad moments in their life. This was one of my crossroads. I was 18 years old, and I was traveling in Europe. And I got off the train in Amsterdam, and I was looking for a friend of mine who lived in Delft, where they make the china. And I put my head into this guy's, you know, car to ask him if he knew, you know, where this place was. And instead of him giving me directions, he said, you know, "Let's see if we could find it." So I got in. He asked me to get in the car, and I got in the car. And we drove around for a good hour and a half, searching, asking, and everything. And we finally found it. And as I got out of the car, I turned to him and I said, "You know, this was just a wonderful gesture. You really made a difference for me." And he said something that has stuck with me. This is a very, very long time, probably 50 years, has stuck with me. And he said, "Isn't this what it's all about? Aren't we on this earth to help each other?" And that was a very crucial moment for my journey on this earth.
You later were a rodeo rider, I think you might have fell off the horse a few too many times.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And you work for the Shrine Circus.
Yes. I was a circus clown. I was a rodeo rider. I was a, you know, I actually got a chance to play, you know, with the Detroit Symphony. I was a roadie for Journey. I was a chauffeur for Peter, Paul, and Mary. I worked on a congressional staff. I was on a search, Jack, for what was going to be whatever my life's journey was, to try to bring some meaning. But all of these things fell short. I mean, they were great experiences, wouldn't trade them. But they fell short to what I really was meant to do on this earth, was to serve and to make a difference. And that was at the top of my priority list for my life.
And you surely have done that. You have spoken to over 2 million people in 2,000 schools. Jim, how did you ever begin speaking at schools?
Well, it's interesting. I grew up very shy, and I was basically, uncomfortable about speaking before groups. And I started programs for youth and returning veterans and for women. And I was always, you know, fascinated by youth. And I got an opportunity to speak at Regina High School on the East Side. Interestingly enough, I know that this is strange during you know, our time where we interface with somebody, but I was with my wife on New Year's, and I was at Shields Restaurant in Troy, and I was getting up, and a guy walks across the room. This is past New Year's. Walks across the room, and he says, "Aren't you Jim Tooman?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You spoke at Regina High School, you know, 40 years ago. And it changed the whole school, and I never got a chance to say thank you to you. I was the school counselor at the time, and I just wanted to give you a hug and say thank you."
We're talking to Jim Tooman. When we come back, we're going to ask him, what's the basic message that he tells kids? And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Jim Tooman, who has spoken to over 2 million people in 2,000 schools. If you want to learn more, www.jimtooman.com. Jim, what's your basic message to the kids?
My message has always been, life has no guarantees. Tell somebody you care. Make a difference in the moment, now. I've spoken at numerous funerals over the years. People have asked me to come in and do eulogies, and I've never been to a funeral where someone said that person lived in a great house, that person drove a great car, that person, you know, dressed really well. What they talk about is that person was kind, that person was loving, that person was caring. I'm trying to get kids to look at what's really important in their lives, what is important to all of us, and what brings us together as a human race in terms of, you know, the powers that we have every day to do something meaningful in our lives.
What do kids really want and need today, Jim?
Well, there's an interesting part. It's a signature part of my talk, Jack. And kids come to the mic for hours and hours and hours. And they talk about their deepest pain in front of the whole school. And each kid that gets up, kids come out of the audience and cry with them and hug them. It's a cathartic moment for kids. The longest program that I ever did was at Grosse Pointe North High School, went on 11 and a half hours for a whole school. It was a Friday night, and it was 7:30 at night. I had started at 8 o'clock in the morning. Kids were still coming to the mic. Two-thirds of the school was still there because kids hunger to have a voice. Kids hunger to be noticed. And one of the challenges in our culture today is because so many kids in school are invisible, they want to make a statement. AKA, you see the school shootings. AKA, you see all of the tragedies that happen. When I came back from Columbine, a reporter asked me, "Jim, is this going to be a one and done?" And I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "There are kids in school that need this recognition, and they're going to make a statement." Even though if the statement is, you know, destructive and, It doesn't matter. They hunger inside because of their sense of loneliness and isolation. And it's worse now these days. Cigna just did a whole study in our country, and it turned out 54% of the population admitted to being abjectly lonely. And the bulk of that was in the 16 to 25 range.
You talk a lot about unconditional love.
Absolutely.
What is unconditional love?
Well, in my parent programs, I say to a parent, I said, you know, my definition of being a great parent is no matter how badly your son or daughter messes up in their life, that they know they can always come home. That's a simplistic, you know, identity of what unconditional love is that you're accepting your child for who they are. I struggle with that in my life. I was a trophy kid. My parents would always bring me out to parties and say, I want to introduce my son the athlete, my son the class leader. You know, I just wanted them to introduce me. Just look at me. Not all the things I did in my life, all the adjectives that you could place on me, but just look at me for who I am, good and bad. And I think that's what unconditional love is all about.
All right, if there's a parent tonight that says, Jim, I'm very demanding of my kids because I love them.
Parents will say that all the time to me. Parents will come up to me and they'll say, my son or daughter gets straight A's. They're a good kid. They're involved in their school. They got this award, that award. And I'll ask the parent, I say, do they have a sense of humor? Do they know how to deal with defeat? Do they know how to be able to give back and pay it forward? Do they understand, you know, what it's like to be someone who, from a sense of empathy, doesn't have all that they have? So there's a real dimensional piece to all of this. And in kids' cases, you know, we're so structured out with the winning and losing in our lives that we forget about the fact that, you know, I developed a course at the Detroit Public Schools called Losing Doesn't Mean You're a Loser, which means that, you know, there'll always be a loser and always be a winner. And the loser sometimes takes that so personally that because they've lost, it means that they have no value, they have nothing to give. And consequently, AK these days, you know, suicide is now the number one killer of kids.
If you want to learn more, www.jimtuman.com. He's also the author of The Magic of Living in the Moment. All right, let's go to suicide. In 2018, Jim, there were 75,000 suicides. That's 205 per day. That's 8.5 an hour. Why?
These days, loneliness, isolation, bullying, peer pressure, parenting issues, it's like a big pie. And kids that call me, and I get calls every day on this, kids call me all the time and they say to me, what difference does it make what I do? Because I'm not going to do anything out there that's going to be meaningful, and why not end it now and not have to deal with all the pain of my future? And I work with kids from that basis and try to get them to see a sense of hope and try to get them to look at, you know, what they can do and their positive attributes. And that's very, very key for, you know, any parent, any educator to look for the positives. But see, we're a measurement culture. We're also a reaction-based culture. But in the measurement side of it, we measure a person's worth by their grade point. We measure a person's worth by, you know, the fact that, you know, they've accumulated a lot. You know, as we get up to be adults, you know, it's an interesting facet of our lives that people point to us and say, you know, that person makes $1 million, or that person, you know, holds this high position. We never look at the individual for themselves, and that is a struggle in our lives.
When we had breakfast a few weeks ago, one thing you told me that really struck me, surprised me, was surveys show girls are twice as likely than boys to attempt suicide. Why?
Girls look at life in a different empathetic type of positioning. This is not a sexist, you know, comment. It's just, you know, there's a difference in the role of, you know, boys, there's an image to protect. Years ago when, you know, real men don't do this or real men, you know, don't do that. Real men don't cry. And so girls have an opportunity to, you know, put their emotions out in the world. There's a risk to obviously doing that because you basically, you know, revisit all of your pain by continuing to put it out in the world.
We're talking to Jim Tooman, who's a champion for kids' voices. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Jim Tooman, who was a Michigander of the Year by the Detroit News in 2000. Jim, last segment we're talking about 75,000 suicides last year, 205 a day, 8.5 per hour. Is there hope? What can we do to turn this around?
Jack, we live in a negative climate these days. There's so much anger and rage out there, you know, so much profiling, so much prejudice. Everyone wants to be right, but not everyone wants to be kind. So I've rolled out a campaign now that I'm working all over the country to instill. It's called I'd Rather Be Kind Than Be Right. And being right is very subjective. It's just our opinions, and it lasts a very short while. But being kind can be forever. And everyone can draw back in their lives, and I ask my audiences this, they can draw back to people who had done an act of kindness on their behalf to help change their lives, like we just talked about the man in Amsterdam. And my life was changed by an 18-year-old girl at Red Robin was the name of the hamburger place. And she came over and she asked me, what would you like to drink? And I said, I'll have a Diet Coke. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. We only have Pepsi products. And I said, gee, I really wanted a Diet Coke. But I understand. She looked at me and she said, do you really want a Diet Coke? And I said, that would be great. And she says, let me see what I can do to make that happen. And I looked at her like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, there's a 7-Eleven across the street. I'll run over and get you a Diet Coke. Now, I eat out all over the world. Nobody has ever done that. And it was June 5th, 7 years ago. And it was a humid day, and she comes running back in, and on her tray are two Diet Cokes. And I did all the obligatory things. I gave her a big tip. I gave her a hug. I told her manager. But I left that day and drove away, and I thought if she at 18 years old can go the extra mile, then I can get up every single day of my life and do something for someone to make a difference. There hasn't been one day from that moment until now that something hasn't appeared to me that I can do. It's the same thing for all your listeners. If you have an act of kindness, pay it forward. If you want to be kinder, pay it forward.
The late, great Ernie Harwell had one of his most famous sayings, whenever you have a choice between being kind or right, always choose kind. Okay, you've passed out hundreds of thousands of these little wristbands, and they say happy people live outside themselves. Yet so many of our young people, it's all about themselves. How do I learn to live outside myself?
You start in small increments. You start by doing acts of kindness every day, simple acts of kindness, not you know, build a hospital or or, you know, go and do these magnanimous things. Sometimes it's just the simplicity. And you start and you build momentum. So now it is 7 years later since that girl at Red Robin, and it's rote for me. It's built into my psyche every day, and I continue to move this momentum forward. And then I belong to a lot of different groups. I want to give a shout out to the Bloomfield Hills Optimist Club that do phenomenal things as a small group of people. There's 30 of them, and they do phenomenal things. And they have a Christmas wish program that serves, you know, 5 or 10,000 people. So you find groups that are out there doing the extra mile, going and being kinder. And then you join them and you're part of them and you build on them. And to do a shout out, my Jimmy's Kids charity just turned 30. It's in its 30th year. And we serve over 25,000 kids annually. And I started with 22 kids. And it's a labor of love for me to get to 30 years. And I still run it out of the corner of my living room. I have 2,000 volunteers. So it's not bigger is better. It's what you do with your life.
All right, let's go to opiates.
Okay.
78,000 drug-related deaths last year in America.
Right.
Heroin today is at its all-time strength. Then you go to fentanyl. Fentanyl is 100 times more powerful than heroin. Then you go to carfentanil, which is 100 times more powerful than fentanyl. Cops have died, Jim, just by touching the clothing of these kids who had carfentanil. What do we do? You're given eulogies for one kid after another. Good kids.
I've worked a lot in the drug subculture. I used to, you know, work for Phoenix House and did a lot with heroin addicts. And I saw the progression of this over my 40-year history of doing this work. And the one conclusion I've come to understand is that we want to take the dealer off the street. We want to take, you know, the cartel. We want to be able to, you know, pull down some of these pictures of who the suppliers are. But the key is each individual, if they get up in every day and they say to themselves, I've got something important to do. Drugs are going to mess up my mind. You immediately operate in resistance to the lure of the drug subculture. And I believe in that premise. And I've watched it work over the years of people that committed to a new direction, goal setting, being able to look at their lives that they have some meaning, knowing that they have children or family that are important to them. You've got to find whatever your choice is in terms of what's important to you. And then you got to focus on that end as opposed to focusing and getting up every day with the thought in your mind, I'm going to get high. I'm going to numb the feeling. I'm going to get out of this pain, because we live in this culture now, Jack, that because it's so angry. For all the listeners, I know all of you or most of you have watched the movie Ghostbusters. Underneath New York was that curdling of slime that kept, you know, bouncing up and down, and it was festered on the basis of our anger. And all the rest of the things that we deal with every day. And we have to stop long enough to be able to look at what we can do every single day of our lives to make a difference on this earth, because we're in this boat together.
I've met so many parents with 2, 3, 4 kids, good parents, Christ-centered parents, and 3 of the kids are doing phenomenal. And then there's the prodigal child, sometimes the daughter. How does that happen?
I did a lot of work in my early days at Northern, Western, and Southwestern high schools, which were the toughest schools in the city at the time, and Northern especially. And there was, you know, I would work with these groups of kids, and they always had, you know, what you're just saying. They had 3 good kids, or they had 1 good kid, or they had whatever, and then they had, you know, a kid that, you know, went off the rails. And it's interesting, if we continue to believe in kids, and I've done this in my life, I believe in kids. I look at kids with possibilities. I don't look at kids with necessarily, you know, what they've done. I had a kid in my class that used to, you know, at Northern, that used to doodle all the time. And he was, it wasn't, you know, people's faces or caricatures or anything. It was machinery. And I had a friend of mine that worked for Delta Faucets. And I took some of this kid's drawings, and he was going to graduate with a D-, barely. I took him to this guy at Delta Faucets. This kid now is the head of the you know, the creative team for Delta Faucets. Years later, that was 30 years ago. He's now the head of that because one person believed in him. One person wanted to see his future better. I do that with all kids. I never give up on a kid. I'm a fighter. I keep fighting for kids' issues. And if we don't give up on the kids, because if we give up, they give up on themselves. It's as simple as that.
We're talking to Jim Tooman, who's a real-life Santa Claus. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Jim Tooman, who in 1988 founded Jimmy's Kits. You kind of mentioned it in a previous segment. How'd you start it, and what does it do?
I started with 22 special needs kids playing Santa Claus at the Dewey School at Martin Luther King in the Lodge. And I fell in love with these kids. They were so unique and so different, but they each had their own challenges at special needs. So the next year I got some friends involved, and then I got businesses involved, and then I got sports teams involved, and then I got, and now we have 2,000 volunteers. We do programs at battered women's shelters, at schools, at churches, and agencies to families, and we serve 25,000 annually. And anybody, you know, there's no uniqueness to this. You just have to have, you know, a sense of purpose when you get up in the morning and stay in action, and you could turn lives. Because I get people all the time ask me, I'm only one person, how do I do this? And I just say to them, you have faith that you can make a difference, and you go out there and you do something meaningful, you know, with your life.
If you want to learn more, www.jimtooman.com/Jimmy's Kits. All right, this past December, Jim, you had people come from 11 states to pass out food, clothing, etc., to over 25,000 kids. How do you get people to come from all these states? And where do you get all this food, this clothing? You're like, you and your wife, it's a two-person team.
No, there's a huge in-depth of volunteers that step up, and you're referring to the Christmas morning program where we drive a 26-foot semi down to, you know, southwest Detroit, which is, you know, a median income of a family of four, 12,000, and we get names from agencies of different families who are in need, and we bag up appropriately ages, gender, you know, toys, food, and clothing appropriate to the family. And then people line up on the back of this truck on Christmas morning. They come out Christmas morning, you know, from all these different states. We had two people this year came in from Spain. We had two people came in from Tokyo. They come and they line up and they deliver these bags to families who don't know we're coming. So it really is the true spirit of the giving season. And these people want to be there, and they plan it all year because they want to showcase to their kids how good their kids have it. Also, they want to feel like this is something meaningful that they could do as a giving human being at a giving season. So it's become a huge success. You know, every year the numbers just keep swelling. There is no sign-up sheet. There is no reservation. People just show up on Christmas morning. And by the way, Jack, in the worst of weather conditions, they come in, they find their way in. We had a person this year that drove all the way all night from Colorado to get in just to do this on Christmas morning.
If you want to learn more, www.jimtooman.com. You've created a poster entitled True Purpose, and it reads, "When you find your purpose, it is God's gift to you. When you fulfill your purpose, it's your gift to God."
I dedicated that poster to my friend Linda Hannaford, who died of mouth cancer. She was best man in my wedding and just a great friend to my wife and I. And the night before I did her eulogy at a memorial service, I wrote that saying and put it in a poster. And my belief is exactly that, is that, you know, look for your purpose. Look outside the box. Look at the bracelet that says, happy people live outside themselves and live outside yourself. Find a way to be able to do something meaningful every day for a different person so that that ripple effect. And by the way, kindness spreads. When you do an act of kindness, then whoever you do that act of kindness for, they do acts of kindness. And so you've got this huge ripple effect out there. And these days, at this time in our history, when anger is prevalent, we need to turn this around. And I'm tired of watching kids die. And I'm tired of watching, you know, our culture, you know, be so enraged with each other that we can't see the good in each other. It's time to stop.
One of your latest ventures, Tooman, is you're now working on the Five Candles of Hope.
My legacy piece. I'm by the way, for the listeners, I'll be 78 in October. I'm working on a legacy piece of things that I've come to understand during the course of my journey here. And I call it the Five Candles of Hope. And there are five different segments. Number one is what we talked about this morning. I'd rather be kind than be right. Number two is intimacy versus loneliness. Number three is power and prestige is real short-lived. Number four is life has no guarantees. And number five is finding your life energy purpose.
If there's a listener tonight that says, wow, this is an angel from God listening to you, Jim, I'm full of anger and hate.
I ask my audiences, my program is very intense, it's very emotional, but I say to my audiences, let me give you the key to all of this for us to understand. Sit down, take 30 seconds out of your life and ask yourself, how do I want the people in my life who I love and who love me to remember me? And put it up at the top of the list and live that out. If you want to be remembered as a caring person, put that up at the top of the list. If you want to be remembered as someone that was there when you needed them, put that up at the top of the list. If you want to just be remembered as a person that cared, put that up at the top of the list. And think in terms of if this were your last day and people were talking about you, how would you want them to talk to you, talk about you? And then go and live it out. And we have a tough time understanding that we're all, you know, we're all on this journey and the journey is going to end. And when it ends, do you want to feel like you had a great run? I know I've had a great run. I'm going to go sliding out of this earth and say, wow, what a great ride.
Why and how do I make peace with my mom and dad? I'm 60 years old. I got resentment, hate. How do I do it?
I knew both my mom and dad left deep imprints in my life. My most painful moment had to do with my mom, my dad, you know, and I love them both. And I had to go on a journey to heal. And I could only, because I never allowed love in. I used to get standing ovations in my programs, and inside of me, I wanted to run out of the room. I wanted to leave because love in my life was given and taken away. And I knew I had to go on this journey to heal with both my mom and dad in order to let love in. And I have an incredibly happy marriage. I love my wife with all my heart. I fall more in love with her every day. And a lot of it has to do with the healing that I did with my mom and dad. So I'm saying to the listeners, don't heal with your mom and dad for them. Heal it for you. Heal it because you are going to have children or already have children. You're going to have people in your life. You don't want to push them away. You don't want to have, my mom used to have false pride. I made a commitment in my life never to have false pride. My mom used to, she would kill people if they crossed her, and they would never come back in her life. And, you know, I thought, I don't want to do that. So I never do that with friends and family and anybody else. I always reach out with a healing. And I believe if we're all faith-based out there, this is an integral part of what faith teaches us.
As our time winds down together, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
You've got to have a voice. When I saw the Parkland students after that shooting have a voice, you got to have a voice in your school. You got to have a voice in your community. You got to have a voice in your family. Because you're living in the mire, and you know better than anyone else what that mire does. So I encourage, and I want every listener to remember this part of the program. I encourage every school, every agency that works with kids, every family, have your own youth focus group. Have your own focus group. Bring in kids. Use your family as a focus group. And ask them questions. I have a focus group now that's in 30 states. Once a month, I write a question to them. What's the newest designer drug? What's the newest at-risk problem? And I get feedback from them so that I can be more effective. Kids need to have a voice, Jack, and we don't give them a voice. So you're going to have to fight for that voice, kids.
Well, Jim Timmon, you are a shining example and a champion for kids' voices. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for your kindness and your faith-based, and thank you for your heart.
Thank you. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoil.
Believe in yourself.